This is all about communications and how it is such a wonderful thing in our modern society today. We've come a long way from the days when you could only speak. We forget sometimes it's only in the last couple of hundred years that books have been readily available. Then it took a considerable time for most of the people of the day to be educated so they could read the books that they had. Today, of course, communications are widespread. We can speak directly to one another, like I'm doing now. We can telephone each other and talk to each other. We can text each other. And all the children know about that. They use the text all the time, don't they? We can write a letter. We can email those who have computers. We can fax people who have got faxes. And none here are dumb, but also, there is the sign language for those who cannot speak. And yet we take all these things for granted, don't we? Because many around the world have only the spoken word and are limited to their own language. And there are many that cannot read. The animals don't have anywhere near the number of ways that we communicate. How then do we use these ways? Are they just for our personal use? We know that James tells us in chapter 1 and verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father. So we have a great responsibility because we have more ways of communicating today than most. We have a wonderful country which the Father has placed us in. We all live a fairly luxurious life compared to most of the world. We just don't really appreciate our current position sometimes. Well, how can you? None of us have ever lacked food, have we? We've had to starve, unless you want to get a bit thinner or something like that, but generally speaking, we've all got food readily available. None of us lack for breakfast or lunch or an evening meal. We have a choice of dishes. We'll go and say, oh, I'll have corned beef. No, I think I'll have a steak or whatever. You know. I might have fish even. Mm-hmm. And we thank God for our food. But sometimes it can be very matter of fact. By that I mean, we thank the Father for what we are about to eat. And not the fact that we have a choice of so many different foods. And not to have to worry about where our next meal is coming from. It's another thing with us that we have three meals a day. This is an old English custom where the rich had three meals a day. But today, over 80% of the people around the world, they don't have three meals a day, they have one. It's usually just a bowl of rice or something like that. In the olden days, it was only the lords and ladies of the manor who had three meals a day, and they were waited on by their servants. The peasants, or the farmers who tilled the fields or the estate, only had one feed a day, and that was their payment for the work that they had done in the day. They received no money at all and were entirely dependent on the lord of the manor. Even the house they lived in belong to the lord of the manor. So what you say doesn't apply to us, does it? And it doesn't. That's a long time ago. And things have changed. Wrong. It does apply to us. Pause and consider for a moment. God is our lord of the manor. He provides us every need. In our case, has given us not only an abundance of food, but many other blessings. So as his bondservants, how have we worked in the field this last week to earn our keep with the Father? Have we put in an effort which justifies the many blessings we receive? I suggest it would be a very brave person who says they could stand before the Father and answer this in the affirmative. So then, what blessings has God given us? Well, as you and I sit or stand, we're all breathing, And that's pretty important, isn't it? Psalms 104:29 says, God hides his face, they are troubled. If you take away their breath, they will die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are all created, and you renew the face of the earth. It's a blessing every 2 or 3 seconds a day. How can we do that? What else does God provide? Well, when we've finished this meeting, what are we going to do? And have a lovely lunch, aren't we? We'll gather around the table and select what food we prefer from different foods that each of us have brought. We have a choice of food. Psalms 103 verse 5. The Lord satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. In Psalm 104 verse 27. These things all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, and they are filled. That's a blessing that we have not only 2 or 3 times a day, but we have sometimes we have a little bit in between, don't we? A cup of coffee and a biscuit, cups of tea maybe, or sometimes lollies. So we do have lots of other things. How can we earn that? God has given us clothes to wear. Like our first parents in Genesis 3 verse 21, for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Today Matthew 6 verse 30 tells us, if God clothes the herbs of the field, which flourish today and tomorrow is baked in the oven, will he not also clothe you, O ye of little faith? So God provides us with clothes which we wear during the day, at work, at school, here at the meeting, and at times when we're relaxing or play, and then at night, we change into pyjamas or nighties, whatever we wear to go to bed. And we don't have one set of clothes, do we? But again, we have a variety of choice. Which will I wear today? They're all gifts from God 24/7, as they say, for every moment of our life. Again, the question, how can we earn that? Another blessing we receive, we all have a house to live in. Not like the Son of God, who had nowhere to rest his head, as a matter of interest. 1 Timothy 6 verse 8, verse 7 for connection. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment or clothing, let us be content with those things. So God has not intended a house. Why? Because a house in a way signifies a place where we can rest up. But for us, there can be no rest while we are waiting for the return of our Lord. Remember the parable of the Lord who gave each servant a sum of money? Each was given a different amount. And when the master returned, each servant was required to have increased the value. So we have no time to rest, especially now as the Lord's return is so near. But do each of us have a house to dwell in? How can we earn that? Back to our blessings of food and clothing in the house. Each night we go to bed, we close our eyes, we sleep till the morning. When we wake up, we are refreshed. That's a blessing we hardly ever consider. We have a lovely bed to sleep in, another blessing. We're all reasonably well off and mentally alert, considering our ages and conditions and so on. God has truly blessed us again. We live in this land which tolerates religious belief. We have the freedom to worship our wonderful Father in heaven. That is one which is hard to appreciate, as we've never experienced anything other than that. Well, I haven't, perhaps you have. But there are many who are persecuted for worshiping their God and their Father. and many countries limit the preaching of the truth. We're all warned in Mark 13 verse 9, "But watch out, for they will deliver you to councils. You'll be beaten in synagogues. You'll be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them." Now brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you'll be hated by all men for my name's sake. But they who endure to the end shall be saved. That hasn't happened to us, has it, in New Zealand, yet. But it may come, you never know. How would you cope? When you think about it, we here in New Zealand have never really been tested like that. How would we respond? Let us remember to ask our Father in prayer to continue this great and wonderful blessing that we have. Or can we earn this blessing? We can spend all day looking at the gifts that God gives us. They are that many. And we would not exhaust the list. There are thousands of blessings part of our life which we do not even think of as blessings. We take them so much for granted. The millions of microbes, the trees, the flowers, the worms, bees, the millions of different insects. Most of these things we can't see. Then there's the grass, the sheep, the cattle. Remember, if you can, all the animals that went into the ark. Food we eat, the water we drink. The list goes on. The rain, the sun, the moon, the stars. In other words, the world that God did create. Every part of it is for us and a blessing or a gift of God. Every second of the day, the hand of God is keeping us alive. For if any of these blessings ceases, so would we. How can we earn these blessings? There are two final blessings. They are, in fact, the most important to us individually. Our Father in heaven has chosen to call you and me from trillions of people over 6,000 years. He's called us to his saving name. Why? Why? Neither you or I know the reason for our calling. But Matthew says, many are invited, but few are elected. This is taken from the dialogue as a better rendition of the Hebrew translation. The words invited and selected are used in the same way which they had to choose Roman soldiers from the citizens of Rome. All Romans were liable to serve, but only the very best. Few were finally selected to receive that great honour. We have been called. But another blessing is required. What blessing is that, you might say? I've been invited. That's a better word than called. Invited to come to God. So what is the next blessing? Acts 14 and verse 27. Now when they had come and gathered the ecclesia together, they reported to all that God had done with them, and they who had opened the door, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Acts 16:14. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard it. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized and so on, what happened? The Lord opened her heart. So then after we sought to find the truth, it is our Father who finally opens our eyes to his great plan and purpose to come. And the rest is over to us, each one individually. How can we earn these blessings? The question is just that. We cannot earn anything. We rely on God for everything we have. We're in God's hands completely. And that's really great, isn't it? Because we are in the hands of a very loving Father who will and does care for each one of us. Well then, how can we serve him and show him that we are trying our utmost to please him? Thinking about the Olympic Games, how do they train for the Olympic Games? You probably never trained for the Olympic Games, but you know that they train very, very hard. How do we compare to athletes who are entering the Olympic Games? When I wrote this exhortation, one of the daily readings on the day was 1 Corinthians 9. The first three quarters of the chapter was about Paul's self-denial. In the last part, he tells us that our life is like a race. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 24 says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize?" Then Paul says, "Run in such a way that you obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an eternal crown. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Paul says in verse 25 of that verse, "Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things." What does he mean by that? Well, I suggest to you that the apostle is referring to the course of training to which each competitor has to compete. Those who were contenders for the prize given at the Athenian Games, which were celebrated by the Corinthians, their training consisted of regular diet. Their hours of exercise and rest were coordinated, restraint of their passions, sex, and they had special people who advised them as to the progress they were making. Also, the training was very strict, as it was an honour to be able to compete. So it was a lot like our athletes today, in a sense. Paul, verse 24 says, "Don't you know there are many runners, but only one can receive the prize?" Let's think about this for a moment. The Greeks had a number of games. They were all run at different times and at different places in Greece. One thing was common to them all. There was only one winner of each event who won the prize. It's not like today. At our Olympics they have a second and third prize. You can get a gold, bronze, silver and bronze. Not like that. If you didn't win, you just lost. And that was it. Brothers and sisters, the truth is just like that. There'll be no seconds or thirds. We'll either be a winner or we'll be a loser. And a big loser, which none of us want to be. Now, I only know of four different games that the Greeks held. There may have been more. But the four that I know of was the Pythian Games, the Isthmian Games, the Nemean Games, and of course the Olympus Games. And each game had only one crown of wreath, but they were made from different plants. The Pythian crown wreath was made from laurel. The Isthmian wreath was made from pine. The Nemean crown wreath was made from parsley, and the Olympus crown wreath was made from olives. Again, we too will receive a crown for winning our race, and it too will be different compared with each other. Not a material difference like parsley, pines, olives or laurels, but a spiritual difference. Remember the parable of the talents? A man gave his three servants. One he gave five talents, another he gave two, the last one one. We know the result. The first two doubled the talents, and the last one went and buried it in the ground, didn't he? And the result was, Matthew 25, verse 26. But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reaped where I have not sown, and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to deposit my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have anything, even what he has will be taken away. So the more you have, the more you will receive. You notice that the man who gave the talents to his servants, he knew which ones he could trust. He could have given them all the same amount, couldn't he? But he didn't. Why? Because he trusted some more than others. So he gave more to those he trusted, because God knows you and me better than we know ourselves. And God has given us all talents. They're all different in number and in type and so on. Remember, the disciples were given the Holy Spirit, and each had a different power. So, brothers and sisters, we've all got talents. What they are, you should find out for yourself, because they're all different. They're there, and we have to develop those talents so that our Father can use those attributes in the kingdom to come, which he's preparing for each one of us. We can look in the Bible at those men who served God, and no doubt we can see some of the amazing talents that they had. The one which stands out is what? Faith. They all had amazing faith. Noah, Abraham, the father of faith, you might say. Moses, Joshua, Caleb, Samuel, David, Joseph, Josiah, Stephen, Paul. What did Paul say in the letter to Hebrews? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith alone cannot save us. James 2, verse 14 says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, one of you says to them, you'll be right, depart in peace, get warm and filled. If you do not give the things which are needed, what good does that do? So by faith itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. You should know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by faith when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Likewise, Rahab the harlot, also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way. Just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So we need faith as a talent. We need works as a talent. Is that important? Is that all we need? Unfortunately, it isn't. There's one more thing that we must have, and we need it in abundance. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 2 tells us that the next talent we need. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries, all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so I could remove mountains, but have not love, I have nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love is the greatest talent of all. If you have love, then you will do all things to show that love. Now I ask you, have you shown your love to God? How? Sitting down and doing your Bible readings is not enough. What did you do for God this last week? Does that question embarrass you? Not to worry whether it does or not. The time is this coming week. The Lord Jesus Christ might come soon, but you have a few days before he comes. Then you'll have to answer that very question if he puts it to you. And so we'll finish with two readings where God gives us everything. Matthew 6, verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. And so God loves and has provided for you and me, and we owe him our very life. How do we use these talents we have to show him our love? Matthew 25:13. Watch, for you know not neither the day or the hour which our Lord Master is coming. All the nations will be gathered before Christ, and he will separate you and me, one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from goats. Then he separates the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And our Lord says to those on his right hand, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why? Because we showed our talents to God now, not tomorrow, today. We must show our talents today. Verse 35. When I was hungry, you gave me food, and you gave me a drink. When I was thirsty, I was a visitor, and you looked after me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous asked him, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or give you a drink? And the Lord's answer, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it this to me. Brothers and sisters, you've used your talent. Then he will say to those on the left hand who didn't use their talents but kept it to themselves, depart from me, you cursed ones, into the everlasting fire prepared for the adversary and his messengers. Then the verses carry on with Christ saying, you did nothing for me. And they answered, when did I see you in need? Then he answered them, because you did not do something for one of the least of these, your brothers and sisters, then you didn't do anything for me. Did not do anything for me. Result, verse 46. And those who have not used their talents will go away to everlasting punishment. But those righteous who did use their talents will receive eternal life. Which do you want to be? But which will you be? You make that answer now.